Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm really excited to be sitting down to chat today with my guest, Mackenzie Bradkey. She is the owner of Follow Your Arrow Counseling, creator of Middle Path Wellness Collective in a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri. She's been in private practice part-time since 2007 and full-time since 2017. She works with moms, therapists, and therapists who are moms, specializing in the mother load. Mackenzie, thank you for being here today. I'm excited to chat with you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited too.
So I'm always curious how people got their start. Like, what led you to private practice? What led you to the work that you're doing now?
I always had an interest in not doing case management. I worked with a psychiatrist in community-based mental health, and she was always very supportive of us kind of branching out and doing private practice with her. And so that started my part-time private practice. And then my daughter kind of pushed me into full-time private practice. She is adopted. And so after we got her as a newborn, a few months later, I got a cold that I couldn't get rid of because I was working again. I was actually working in hospice at that time, but I was just working too much, trying to do all the things as a mom, be the perfect mom, the perfect employee, the perfect everything. And I tanked and I ended up in the hospital. And my husband said, "You're not going back there." I said, "Okay, I agree." So I went into full-time private practice in 2017. I worked for a group, and then a year later, I went out specifically on my own, not working for a group, just working for myself. So it's been awesome. I love it.
Yeah. What was that like for you to realize this job is making me sick almost, right? Like, I can't keep doing this. Because I think for a lot of us, we get into something and we're like, well, this is what I'm quote unquote supposed to do, or this is what I went to school for, and kind of have a hard time letting go of that. What was that like for you to be like, no, this isn't working for me anymore?
It was really hard because I am a perfectionist and I wanted to do all the things, and I loved hospice. I would possibly still be there if that hadn't happened, but being taken out of your house by an ambulance is a very humbling experience. And just the bouncing up and down of, I can breathe one day and the next day I can't, and just waiting too long. And then my husband having to call an ambulance. And yeah. And then I think him also telling me how scary that was for him, and that he doesn't want to like do life without me, and our daughter needed us or needed me as well. And I think kind of getting over myself to like recognizing, okay, you really need to stop. You really need to put your family first and just let go of the perfectionism. That's really hard for me.
I think there's a lot of us in this field that fight that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the
oh,
supposed tos and like, this is, this wasn't the plan, right? Mm-hmm. And right? So like, what do I do now with that?
Totally. Yeah.
So I know you work primarily with moms and therapist moms in your practice. What led you to that niche to work in?
I've always enjoyed working with other women, like the older teenage bracket, young adult, but I think really just being a mom myself and realizing what a, can I curse a little bit?
Go ahead.
Okay, great. Yeah. Just kind of recognizing what a shit show that is and, recognizing that like, I need other people to be like, oh yeah, no, it's okay. Like I let my kid eat sugar for breakfast, you know, whatever, whatever the case may be. And just kind of normalizing the things that we're not supposed to do, or the things that I'm never going to do that as a parent.
Right.
Yeah. I did them all. Yep.
Yep.
Out the window. So I really just started focusing, and then obviously the pandemic hit. And so really focusing on that with moms and working professionals who are also moms. And then, I mean, I'm a therapist. I love therapists. We are human beings and we tend to forget that very easily. So I want to be someone for them that they can come to my office and put that therapist part of them aside and just be the person that they are.
Well, and I think one of the things that's been so hard the last 3 years is we've all been wearing all the hats, especially if you have a family and you know, you've been in practice, whether you've been working for a group, solo practice, community mental health, whatever it is, like we've been doing it all. And where has been the space to take care of ourselves?
Yeah. And I think another piece to that too is we were doing all of that without a transition.
Yeah.
We were doing that without the commute home. And I mean, my stair steps were not enough of a commute to like let go of the day and jump into mom or, you know, whatever the next thing was. Everything was done in the same place. And that was fun for a minute, but then it got old real fast. I'm like, sure, I can do this for 2 weeks. Of course, this will be fun. Family time. Like I don't have to go anywhere. I can wear like pajama pants to do my sessions. Yes, please. Right. No, thank you. That's I'm done.
Very quickly,
I was done. Yeah.
Well, and the hard part, I think, well, I mean, there's been so many hard parts, but right? I think one of the hard parts, like when I think back to that time, was we didn't have clarity on like, how long did we have to do this? Right.
Yeah.
I remember when they said, okay, you're home for 2 weeks.
Right.
There was something in me at the time. I was like, I don't think it's going to be that. Yep. I really don't think it is. I couldn't tell you what it was going to be, but I don't think it's going to be that. And it just kept going and going. And I think that made things challenging because if you can tell me you've got 3 more days of this, you're like, okay, I can find the strength. Right. Yeah. But no one could tell us when does this end. And I know, especially for moms that I've worked with and talked with, adaptation fatigue, right? Where you're like, okay, today this is what we're doing. And this is, I figured it out.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the game has changed. And it's like, now this is it. And like, we're tired from that.
Oh yeah. Exhausted physically and emotionally. And like trying to explain to my daughter, she was 3 at the time. She had just started preschool in January, and trying to explain to her in her 3-year-old mind why we have to wear masks.
Yeah.
Why we can't go anywhere. Cause she's like, mom, I want to go. Like we were used to going and doing things and even just going to the store. She's like, mom, I want to go. I'm like, not without this mask. And for a while, like, no, you're absolutely not going. And our household was immune compromised. And so we had to be extra, extra careful. And so all of those extra precautions too. And again, just trying to get her to understand that.
No, I had found out I was pregnant with our second exactly a month before our
Oh
state was shut down. And
my
so, you
goodness.
know, there was a lot at the time that was like, we don't know what this means, right? Like, we don't know. And so, yeah, we took a lot of precautions too. And it was one of those things where, as a mom, I'm like worried for this baby. I'm worried for my son. And yet you're also trying to balance, like, I need you to understand you have to like take these precautions, but I don't want to scare you. But I also need you to understand, like, this is serious. And so I'm carrying around that anxiety daily. And then I'm going into sessions where I'm trying to hold space for clients who are also carrying that around daily.
That was weird. We don't often go through the same thing that our clients do. And so I don't even know how to describe that. It was, in a strange way, it was comforting and yet very surreal. And to be perfectly honest, it was probably less therapeutic some days than it needed to be, or anybody wanted it to be. And it was just really kind of just sharing, like, what are you doing for this? Like, oh, I found a new recipe. Please send it. Because, okay, great. Because I'm tired of everything that I'm cooking. And we ordered from this restaurant and this, you know, like just trying to figure out again how to do daily life, but with all of these changes. And it just really was for a lot of people. And I was working with teens at the time. A lot of them just wanted, like, I was the only person, like, outside of their house that they had. And so they just really wanted to chit chat. I'm like, okay, go for it. Like, that's fine. Like, yeah, it just needed to be that because that was the one normal-ish thing that they had. And so we did it. We did it.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter comprehensive connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/comp connecting. Like, at the time of this recording, we're a couple days out from a recent shooting in Nashville. And you and I were chatting a little bit before we hit record just about the challenges that we have been facing the last few years and even still continue to face when there are collective experiences that our clients are going through. And we're like, yeah, I'm processing this too. I'm curious for you, especially as a therapist who you're a mom, you specialize in working with moms, you also specialize in working with therapists who are moms, how you hold space for that for others, but also try to hold space for yourself while, like, you're still trying to process some of this stuff.
It's funny you ask about that because I actually talked to two separate clients about that shooting. And gosh, now I don't even remember. It wasn't too long ago. St. Louis had one of their own shootings. And so that was way too close to home, to be perfectly honest. I don't have a good answer. because I am a human being before I'm a therapist. And so I told both of my clients very honestly this morning that I really just have to kind of shut myself off. Otherwise, I'm not leaving my house again. It's hard to drop my daughter off at school because she goes to a private school. And like that was supposed to be safe. Like that's not why we sent her there, but like that was like, okay, like the odds of that happening are maybe a little bit less or not, maybe not. Now we know for sure it's not. And so that's really scary. So I feel like we're kind of like, here we go again. Here is this, like you said, this collective trauma that we're experiencing at the same time. And for me to hold space for them, I have to shut my own brain off and distanced myself very, very far from that. And that is so incredibly not healthy for me to do.
Sure.
And not what I would want them to do.
Yeah.
But for me to be able to support them, I have to.
Do you find that you give yourself space to process it later on? Or is it like, no, I can't let myself go there?
I can't let myself go there, to be perfectly honest. And that is unfortunate because I am a mom and
you're human
and I'm human. Yeah. And we deal with a lot of heavy stuff personally, professionally. It's just really hard. And I think therapists collectively just really kind of suck at self-care.
I would agree.
I feel like I can say that and, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but we do. We suck. And that's why it was really important for me to start working with therapists and therapists who are moms, because that's just kind of a different animal in itself,
sure,
being a therapist. But then you throw in the mom part and it's like even different. And
right,
and encouraging them and giving them the avenue to take care of themselves.
Yeah. We hold space for some really heavy mm-hmm. stuff. And like mm-hmm. we have the privilege to be the person that someone is sharing with
yeah.
with about this stuff.
Yeah.
But when it's separate from what our experience is, it is a little bit easier to come out of session like, okay, that was a lot.
Yeah.
But now I can tend to my own things, or I can process exactly. my own things. When I think back to, especially again, like during the last three years of the pandemic, where like, yeah. yes, I'm processing this stuff mm-hmm. and I can't escape it when I leave my office.
Exactly.
It's right there in my face. Oh. That makes yes. it so much harder when it hits
Absolutely.
Very close to home.
Yeah.
I remember having my own therapy session sometime during the pandemic. And I said to my therapist, I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about COVID today. And I'm apologizing because I know what it's like to be on that end, because this is literally all right. everybody is talking to you about, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like, you yeah. can't escape it. And it's hard. It's
yeah.
really hard when your clients are going through the same stuff you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And kind of on the flip side of that, there is, again, some little bits of comfort that I think, like, our clients sometimes are like, but do you really get where I'm coming from? Like, do you
sure.
really understand why I'm like so upset about this or whatever? Or, you know, like, but do you have kids question?
Right.
And so I think for them to know that we're also trudging through this ourselves
yes.
and we don't necessarily have the answers, I think they kind of feel like, oh yeah, okay, you are a human being. Like, okay, great. And
yeah.
that kind of allows us to bond a little bit deeper to some
yes.
degree. So
no, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It creates connection. And I think it helps
yeah.
them to feel seen and to mm-hmm. feel validated that, like, oh, okay, it's not just me. There's others
yeah.
that are going through this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So tell me a little bit about the work you're doing outside of the therapy room with supporting mm-hmm. therapist moms.
Yeah.
Cause I know that's something you're really passionate about, is supporting
yes.
moms who are therapists, but not just
yeah.
like sitting on the couch as a
yeah,
client.
Exactly. Yes. So I started a Facebook group called Theramamas Who Mimosa. I don't know where I came up with that name. I think I had some help with it, but I love it. And it's a Facebook group for therapist moms, and it's just really providing a community for them to not only network, but to also be supported and empowered and have a larger network, because we're isolated to some degree. You know, mm-hmm. some of us do work telehealth at home, so we're
yeah.
not seeing our clients in person, so we don't get that energy from them. Or, you know, I just opened a collective because I was the only one in my office and I was lonely. And I was seeing clients in person, but that's not what I was looking for. I wanted other clinicians. So this Facebook group has offered that. And like the local people that are in that group, we get together once a month for coffee or brunch or whatever. This weekend, I'm hosting a self-care Sunday. There will be like food and snacks and then relaxation services. So I'm really excited about that. But the big piece that I'm super excited about is the inaugural Theramama retreat.
Yes. Tell us some more about that.
Yeah. So it's in a, I'm in Missouri again. So we have some wine country area nearby, about an hour away. So I have a mansion for us and we're going to be, just relaxing and networking with each other. It's a very small group. We'll be going to the wineries. Yes. And really just relaxing to give them permission to take care of themselves. And we're not going to talk business, but that will happen anyway. Like that's just how we operate.
Right.
But really focusing on like, I am pampering them. I have taken care of everything. It's all inclusive. They just need to show up. They don't have to pay for anything else other than the retreat, unless they want like other stuff. But it's just focused for them, for that relaxation, like really catering to who they are and letting someone else take care of them for a moment instead of them taking care of someone else. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. Well, and as you were talking about like giving themselves permission to take care of themselves, like what struck me is especially moms, we're so bad at giving ourselves permission to have time away from our kids to take care of ourselves. Yeah. But then I think for therapists, we're also bad at it. I see so often, I don't want to leave my clients or like, I feel bad taking a week off, even though like I really need it and it's okay that I need vacation or I'm sick. It's not just giving ourselves permission to step away from our role as a mom, but also our role as therapist and like truly taking off that caregiver hat.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I've really been focusing on just for myself this year is taking that time and allowing myself to, okay, I am sick. I do need to take the day off. My clients will be fine. Like their world does not revolve around me.
Right.
They'll be fine. My clients, they'll text me if they need something, if they need a phone call or whatever. They send me TikToks all the time, you know, whatever. So thankfully my clients are very stable. I realize some people work with populations that are not, but we have to, as moms and therapists, as just women, we have to do a better job taking the time and recognizing that if we're burned out, we are not functional in any of our roles. Those roles are also going to suffer. If personally we're burned out, we're tired, we're anxious, whatever the case may be, those roles are also going to be affected. And as I continue to wrap my head around that, that makes it easier for me to give myself permission to, I just went on a girls' weekend this past weekend and it was great. And I kind of didn't want to come home, but my husband was, and I mean, we had just been gone for a week, the like 2 weeks prior for my daughter's spring break. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Please go. Like, it's totally fine. That support from him is huge. And I realize some people don't have that and that really sucks, but we still have to do that for ourselves.
Well, and I think it's also to reframe it when we're struggling with it. Of this is also a way for me to model, whether it's for my clients or for my kids, how to care for ourselves, right? Like no one would be like, yeah, I want my kid to grow up and burn out. Right? No one would want that.
No one says that.
Right. How are they going to learn what it means to take care of yourself before you're there if we're not showing them how?
Yeah. In February, I went to South Carolina for a work summit and my daughter was like, mommy, why do you have to go? I don't want you to go. And I told her, I said, honey, it's good for us to have some time away from each other. We live together all the time. We see each other all the time. It's good for us to be away. It's good for you to go and spend the night at Papa's house. It's good for you to go to a friend's house. It's good for Mommy to go on a work trip or a fun trip. And I said, when you're older, you'll understand.
Yeah. No, it is hard when they say that. Like, do you have to go?
You're like, I know.
Yeah, but you're like, yes, I do. I really do.
Yeah. And then like the big old hugs and like perfect behavior when you get home is totally worth it.
Right. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about your retreat or connect with you, where can they find you?
I'm all over the place. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I don't do a whole lot on Instagram because I'm old and I don't understand it. But anyway, so Facebook, Theramamas Who Mimosa, and then my website is followyourarrow.info. And so I have like regular client stuff, and then I have a tab for therapists, and the retreat is there. On Instagram, I am the_mom_therapist.
And if someone's interested about the retreat, where can they either sign up or learn more about that?
Yeah, on the website, under that therapist tab, there is a link for the retreat itself. And then they can schedule or email me through there too. They can schedule like an information call so we can kind of chat. But all the info, all the goods are on there. Yeah.
And I know you said that for listeners who are interested in the retreat, that they can send you a message and they may even get a discount on their registration.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
We'll have all that information in the show notes on how you can do that and how you can reach out to Mackenzie about that.
Awesome.
Well, Mackenzie, I'm so glad to have you on the show today and to get a chance to connect with you. I think these are important conversations that we're having as moms and as women, because this isn't easy work. And it's like you said, when our clients are having that shared common experience, you're like, oh yeah, I'm not alone. And then when you connect with other therapists who are moms and who are women and they're going through it, you're like, oh my gosh, I really am not alone. You get all of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
You're welcome. I'm sure this won't be our last time chatting, and I look forward to connecting again soon. Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.